RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Back here, ESPN 1320, KC and Ham on this Monday afternoon, this foggy, foggy Monday afternoon in Sacramento, California. We're in Roseville, but still.
I had no fog on the way down.
No.
And then I got here, and then all of a sudden the fog like rolled in. Man, I'm like, what is happening? I think you brought it with you.
Maybe so.
From the Grove. Grove.
Yeah. It was definitely in Elk Grove, so it was heavy, but it's all the way out here in Roseville now. We'll take a little time away from the 49ers. We potentially, I'll just say, we're chasing down our guy, Butcher Boy. I want to hear from him after a night like last night. He's a busy man, so it's up in the air whether or not he's going to pull up with us. But if he does, that's going to be a treat. We for sure are going to have our guy, Jay Gaten, at about 1:30. So we'll definitely get back into the football talk, into the 49ers talk, everything that's going on there. But, all right, man, let's talk Kings, man.
Let's talk Kings.
No, I hate being like that because I love the Kings. I love the Kings. And I talked about how excited I was to see the beam lit in the sky on Saturday night.
Yeah.
After they beat the Mavericks Saturday afternoon. That came out of nowhere. I was running around in out here in Roseville at the grounds for this Made Hoops tournament. I was watching that and, you know, watching the kids, watching the young guys play and everything. And I was like, oh, yeah, Kings played a two today. Hey, all right. Well, let me see what the score is. Oh, look, they was up by, like 12. I said, oh, Kings going to get a win tonight. Keon Ellis getting buckets.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Hitting threes left and right. Maxine still doing his thing. So I was happy to see that. And they won, and I was pretty sure they were not going to win last night. Pretty sure of that.
Yeah, I was pretty convinced going into last night's game, too. I think the Mavs game, it was fun to watch. There was this moment in the third quarter where Cooper Flagg just like showed you who he was. And it was like, holy cow. All of a sudden he started playing at a speed that was totally different than anything he had done before. Like in that game, like, it was like, he was kind of missing early on. Wasn't really a part of everything. And then all of a sudden he just takes over the game. Like my takeaway from that was that the Dallas Mavericks are doing a tank job completely. And when they went to their bench, all of a sudden they just pulled ahead. And their bench was just so much better. Like, if they were to put a Klay Thompson around Cooper Flagg, if they were, you know, they just have better players on their bench than they do in their starting lineup. And so for me, I was watching, you know, again, like PJ Washington started, Max Christie started, Daniel Gafford, Ryan Nemhard. When they went to their bench, they were just way better. You know, the Dwight Powell minutes were phenomenal. I thought he was excellent. Most of their bench players had plus, you know, plus minuses. Mm-hmm. And their starters were bad. But overall, I like, again, you can't lose every game. And I know Kings fans are there are a lot of people, our friend Mark Robertson in the chat and stuff. There's so much in on the tank, right? There's a way to tank, which is what Dallas just did. The Kings can't figure out how to play together. And they figure it out for one game, and then it slips right through their fingers. So I thought Keon Ellis at the table was absolutely spectacular early in the game. Goes 5 of 10 from 3. Defense was spot on. I think he had three steals and two blocks. Like, he's all over the court, and it fed into this whole thing of why is Keon not playing, and just got a bunch of people amped up. Russell Westbrook, I thought, was really, really solid. I thought Reynaud was really, really good. And we're seeing this team kind of take these steps. But then you get to Sunday's game, and it was like somebody hit them in the head with a like a hammer, and they just forgot how to play basketball. Like, that's the most frustrating thing. When you go into one game and you have 32 assists, and you go into the next game, and I think they finish with like 19, but 9 assists in the first half, and it's not even just that they're not playing well, it's that it's such gross basketball. Like, you're watching just nobody's involved, nobody's actually getting, the ball's not moving. You had 21 of the first 41 shots in the first half. All of the shots in the first half, 21 of them were Russell Westbrook and DeMar DeRozan. And there's times where it's like, hey, that's not a good shot, or okay, DeMar's just doing DeMar things. And then there are other times where you're like, you just stop the entire game. Like, there is no flow to this game at all. There's no sharing of the basketball. There's no passing. There's no player movement. Keon Ellis had, I think he had 8 shots in the first quarter on Saturday. He finished the game last night with 3 shots, or maybe it was 4. He took one at the end of the game. Just nobody passed it to him. And you're just sitting back going, man, this can't be it. Where one night you look one way and another night you just look like a team that doesn't know how to play together at all. But that's been this season in a nutshell. It's really frustrating to watch from one night to the next. And if you're asking me, are they going to win or are they going to lose? I have no idea. And I've never had a lack of feel for a team like I do with this team.
Let me, man, a lot there. You're spot on. I want to go back a little bit to Saturday because I didn't get a chance to go to that game. You were there. What'd you think of Cooper Flagg and who does he kind of remind you of? I know, like, I get a kick out of it when people are like, I don't want to compare the white guy to a former white guy. Like, no, I don't watch Cooper Flagg and think of Jerome Kersey. Like, no, he doesn't remind me. I'm not going to just do
R.I.P.
Yeah, R.I.P. I'm not going to just say a black guy just because, right? Like, yeah, I look at Cooper Flagg and somebody at the comp, he does remind me of Andre Kirilenko. Like, the way he plays, Kirilenko's a little, he was a little lankier, a little longer and lankier, probably a better defender. But where he scores from, his athleticism, what he's able to do on the floor, it does kind of remind me of Kirilenko when he was doing his thing with the Jazz. But what do you see when you see Cooper Flagg?
Yeah, I mean, Kirilenko, I think, is longer for sure. And, like, Cooper Flagg has a way higher ceiling than Kirilenko. I loved watching Kirilenko. The Kings tried to get Kirilenko a couple of times back in the day, and it just never worked out. For me, I see a lot of Paul George. I do. I don't know that he's
that type of perimeter game.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to be quite the defender that Paul George was in his prime, but I think he is going to be that type of player. And so it is tough because you do always end up comparing, you know, like it's just dumb that we do it that way.
But it's tough. I mean,
it's tough though, yeah. Right? It's because what you're seeing, you know, like I'm always watching like body mechanics, the way players move. And I know a lot of people got so upset, like when I compared Keegan Murray's body mechanics to Marvin Williams. Still holds true. And hey, like Marvin Williams was a good basketball player. He never reached the heights that he was supposed to reach at all. I think he's second
number two pick.
Yeah, second pick in the draft. But still, you can see the mechanics of him. The way he moves is a lot still the same that I saw of Marvin Williams as a player, and that's what I see still from Keegan Murray. So when you're trying to compare, like, who is Cooper Flagg and what does he look like, I don't know. All I know is that when he started playing at a different pace, it was so noticeable, and the Kings were like, wait, what was that? Like, all of a sudden he was on a break, and he went from half court to at the basket. And you're like, oh my goodness, like that, a guy that size, because he's a big guy, like 6'9". And for him to just be at the rim all of a sudden, it was super impressive. So he's got a lot of work to do on his shot and, you know, balance and having to be the guy who's playing 35 minutes a game as a rookie and be everything. But also, I don't think they're doing him any favors by running a bunch of guys out there that aren't as good as some of their bench players. Because I would rather see him play with a good group, and it feels like they're trying to reset that roster without saying they're resetting the roster.
Hmm. Yeah. I gotta check him out. When you talk about like seeing a guy that is, you know, maybe bigger than you realize when you watch him on TV.
Yeah.
That happened on that Tuesday when I saw Cade Cunningham. Me and my son were there. We were just like, bro, what? This guy's a point guard? Cade Cunningham, I don't know what they list him as or whatever, but he looks like he's like 6'8", 220 pounds or something. Like
yeah.
Like he, this guy's a point guard? You want Dennis Schroeder to match up with this guy? How's that work? And he had a, Cade had a move on whatever night that was against the Jazz that I'd never seen before. I had to rewind it. He did like some type of Euro cross, but not the Euro cross, a stutter with the right hand in for a dunk. I had rewound it like three times. Still not sure what he did like that, but he's at 6'8" doing something like that on the break. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah. So Michael Fregren in the chat brings up Grant Hill. That flag reminds him of Grant Hill. Okay.
That's not bad. Somebody else had Keith Van Horn. That's a good look.
Yeah, I think
he's more athletic than Keith Van Horn.
I think he's way more athletic, yeah. Too. Yeah. And, like, look, I think we're also in an era where players have been training to be this player for, you know, since he was 7 years old or something. And so there's just a little bit different, you know, like, I think, like, he's going to develop. He's going to be better, a better player than he is today. Mm. But he's absolutely marvelous to watch. Like you're sitting there like, oh man, that's where you need to get with the Kings. Like fast forward to this summer and hopefully they get a top four pick in the draft and they're able to go grab one of these types of guys that are full-fledged game changer. And at least when you're watching the game, you're watching it with that in mind, that this is a development year, the year two development, year three development of this young star player that you're trying to bring along. As opposed to where the Kings are now, where, you know, you're really hoping that a second round pick is developing fast in Max Raynaud. And Max is doing a great job of developing. Defensively, he's got all kinds of problems. But offensively, you're watching like a really, really high level, high basketball IQ, like finesse player. Mm-hmm. And you're trying to figure out, well, who does he look like? Is he going to turn into Vucevic? Are they going to, you know, lean him down and keep him more in the vein of, you know, Lauri Markkanen? How are they going to develop him? And that's sort of what I'm looking for and kind of excited to see. And this team in the past has had a really good idea of who they want to make a player into. And so I really like the development of Keegan Murray as a defensive player, but also physically, what they've done to him physically and helped him develop physically. I want to see what Max looks like after a summer. Yeah. Like and so there's not that much to watch as of right now,
right.
And that's tough.
And that's what I always go back to with Max, because I got a good idea of who he is today. Like he's a good finisher around the rim, great touch around the rim for a guy his size.
Mm-hmm.
He's got that Rashawn Holmes floater game, kind of like becoming one of his patented shots when they dump it off to him, whether they're attacking or the pick and roll or whatever. He's got that. But I always say the things that I want to see him improve on and see if he can reach another level, I'm probably not going to find out till next year, because it's getting stronger. It's getting in the weight room. It's getting more physical. And that's tough to do in the middle of the season. That's going to be something that having an off season with the training staff and with the player development staff. And then maybe next year, a year after that,
mm-hmm.
we'll come back and we'll see, okay, Max has improved on this or he hasn't. But right now, he's doing all he can do. You know, all he's doing perfectly fine. Like,
yeah,
I'm really happy with what I'm seeing from Max. But I know the things that I look at as weaknesses for him, I don't expect those to improve until an off season. You know what I mean? So
totally. And Doug Christie talked about that this weekend. Like, what do you? And it was more in line with Neek Clifford. They're asking Neek about Neek's shot from the perimeter and. And he said, look, at this point, if I have conversations with Neek about shooting stuff, it's very, very rudimentary. And it's about like, hey, I need you on balance. I need you to swivel to this direction. He's like, we won't touch his shot. We won't touch a huge portion of his game until this summer. That's not the time. What we don't want him doing is going out there and thinking about the three-point shot that he's about to take. We just want him going out there and playing right now. And we're taking notes, and we'll have a whole, you know, idea of what we want him to do during the summer. But for right now, we're going to feed him little bits here and there and have him go up against, again, last night. You can't get better training than going up against Luka Doncic and then having to defend LeBron James. And it wasn't just Nick Clifford that had to do that. Max Reynaud got caught on switches multiple times against those guys. And he actually, for moments, he holds up. Mm-hmm. And you're like, okay, he's more of a perimeter defender than he is a post defender at this point in his career. And so, like, how do you develop him? And I think one of the things the Kings are doing that are so smart is playing him with Dylan Cardwell. Mm-hmm. And then actually playing him with Precious Achiuwa. And if Sabonis, if and when Sabonis ever comes back and he's ready to play, I want to see him with Domantas Sabonis. Can you play the four? Can you play a five? Well, Domas plays a four. And I think giving him not only looks against different types of players that he's defending is a big deal, but also how is he going to play alongside different styles of players? Right. And that's big. I mean, it's one thing if you get to play alongside Keegan Murray all the time, who stretches the defense and plays excellent defense on the other side. And so you're like, okay, I'm really safe with this player. I know he's going to give me some space, and he's also going to take, he's not going to let like free drives to the basket, like a wide open drive to the basket. Right. But then when you've got a guy like Precious who can't stretch the floor nearly as well, and people don't trust him out there as a shooter, even though he's not a bad shooter, like he's not gaining the respect mm-hmm. that a Keegan Murray does. It just adds all of these little pieces that I think, if one thing I would say, Max is processing things so much faster than almost any rookie that I've seen mm-hmm. because there are so many changes that are happening around him. And it's a big deal to try to learn how to take a pass from Russell Westbrook and then Dennis Schroeder and then Malik Monk. All of those are different players. They all pass the ball differently, you know, and so you're sitting there trying to figure out how to play the pick and roll, but it's a pick and roll with three different styles of players that you're playing the pick and roll with. It's not the same. And so I really am impressed with his ability to process the information that's coming at him and like really show up. I mean, all the double doubles, he's got five double doubles, and this is a second round pick mm-hmm. and he's playing like a, like maybe the 12th pick in the draft mm-hmm. at this point. And I fully expect him to like make the rookie sophomore game. And there's a good chance he's moving up. Like, I think he was number 8 on the rookie ladder on NBA.com. Like, he is moving up. People are noticing his play, and it's a consistency that he's playing with. Last night, picked up 3 fouls early because he's playing against superstars. And then he stopped picking up fouls. And you're like, hey, look at that. He's learning. Now, is he playing defense? It's not always the best, but that's the process that you need to go through. And the Kings are going to have it this year with this group of young players, and then next year with a high-level draft pick, and then you're hoping that you can start to develop something.
And that's when I talk about this season and how awful it is to watch Kings basketball on a night-to-night basis. I think this is exclusive to this year, mm-hmm. mainly because, like you talked about, there isn't that one guy that we're kind of locked into and saying he might be the savior or he might – you know, be the building block that we build around. We love what we see from Maxime Reynaud. Nick Clifford is, you know, he's had his moments up and down, really good on the defensive end, up and down on the offensive end. We like Keegan Murray and all this other stuff. But none of these guys are looked at as franchise saving in the way that a De'Aaron Fox was or DeMarcus Cousins was or anything else like that. That's going to happen next year, mm-hmm. probably, if you have an A.J. DeBonta here. Yeah, the Kings might be 8-24 next year at this moment. But, man, what's AJ looking like? What's his development? Almost like how the Mavericks fans probably are with Cooper Flagg. Like, yeah, we're not good, but look at Cooper. He's getting better. And some of the things that you see him starting to understand about the NBA game, and you could project out to what he might be 2 years from now. We'll have that next year. We don't have that this year. We just got a bad team. Just a bad team of guys waiting for where their next landing spot is going to be.
Yeah, a lot of them are. And a lot of them are just like going out there and putting up stats. And that's a tough place to be in for a head coach. One of the questions we had during the break that we started to talk about was the Michael Porter Jr. situation. Michael Porter Jr. is a player that, like, very likely is getting traded by the Nets this season as they try to accumulate, you know, pieces to their rebuild. And he was in the, what is it, the 2018 NBA draft, mm-hmm. right? The Marvin Bagley draft. Yeah. And the Kings loved him, absolutely loved him. And they would have taken him number two overall. But his people held back his medicals forever. And this is a kid who, when he was at, or where was he at in college?
Missouri. For a game.
That's all he played?
That's all he played. I see in his first game, and that's where he, his back flared up in the first half of that game, and that was it.
So that was a problem. And the Kings waited and waited and waited for the medicals. And then when they finally hit, like, the response I got from someone within the walls were, we wouldn't take him in the second round. And it was like, wait, what? Like, because if you remember draft night, he falls to number 14 and Denver is just sitting there. The Kings could have easily tried to move back in the draft and go get, you know, if they thought that highly of him, if you were going to take him number two over Luka and you thought that highly of him, you probably should have got back in the draft. But they said the back issues were extreme. And sure enough, he doesn't play his rookie season. And the Kings had already just redshirted the year before Harry Giles, which we talked a little bit about earlier. But they got to this moment and it's like, oh no. He ended up having three back surgeries by the time he was 21.
Yeah.
And as a guy with a bad back, like, that is, like, you don't have surgery at 21 unless everything has gone horribly wrong. Right. And so would I trade for him now at 27? No. Look at the mileage he has on the body. Like, is he going to break down? Yeah, he's going to break down. Like, I don't think that there's any question that he'll break down. And has he played a lot of games throughout his career? Sure. He had 77 games last year, 81 the year before, 62 the year before that. But then you get to the seasons where he plays 9 games. And when you're talking about a player who makes $40 million a year, that's just a really, really huge commitment to make to a player that isn't going to be available a good portion of the time. And who on top of that has some very interesting quirks off the court. And so I would not make that move if I were them. But again, this team does stuff all the time that, like, makes you shake your head.
Yeah, if it was a different type of contract, I'd you know, consider it, but there's no need to go get a Michael Porter Jr. I was really big on him coming out of Missouri as well and mm-hmm. in high school. I mean, I looked at him before the back issues really, you know, hampered him. I was like, yo, this guy's, he's not him per se, because this is a all-timer, but he's like a KD type guy. Mm-hmm. He was 6'11", could shoot it from three, had perimeter skills. Like, he was the truth. Coming out of, I think he was out of Seattle or maybe Tacoma, one of the two. And I was all in on Michael Porter Jr. And then when the back started to become more of an issue, and I remember on draft day, they had the videos, which was tough to watch, you know, for a guy on his, one of the biggest days of his life, where he couldn't barely walk down the steps.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, yeah, I can't, I don't know how you go ahead and with the number two pick, taking Michael Porter Jr. But then, like you said, he started to fall, and it was like, well, man, trade back up, give up one of those first rounders you had last year, mm-hmm. or a future or something, take a chance with him since you already got one of your guys, and they never did. But while he's been a little bit more healthy than maybe we think, like a little bit more, like I my first thought when Michael Porter Jr. comes to mind is like, oh, this guy never plays. He's had about 3 or 4 seasons now where he gets there, which is about 70 games. So a little bit more than I give him credit for. It's still not enough for me to take a chance on him, especially at that price tag.
Yeah, they owe him $40 million next year. And, I mean, it just depends. If you just want something different, but I just don't think he's the something different. Mm-hmm. And I'll say the same thing. I don't think Kyle Kuzma is the something different this Kings team needs. Mm-hmm. I don't think John Collins is the something, especially at this point. Like, that's not what you need. What you need is young players that, you know, maybe are underused where they're at, underutilized, and maybe they can come in and be better than you think. And that's if you're moving off some of your, you know, your more veteran players. I definitely think, like, again, Michael Porter, there's a good chance he's going to get moved. He's putting up big stats, like 25-7. But I just don't think that you can trust him, especially now that, you know, he's starting to hit 27 years old. Yeah. And you're looking around like, you know, is he a ticking time bomb as far as, you know, the back issue? And the answer is, yeah, most likely. Back issues don't just magically go away. And it doesn't matter how hard you work at it and everything else. It takes one silly thing for you to have a major flare-up and miss a month, miss 2 months for a player who's already had three surgeries.
That's the truth. James, I want to talk to you because we got Kings Insider, ESPN 1320 Kings Insider. We got the host of the Kings Beat podcast here with us. I want to talk to you about what you might be hearing about the trades. That's what everybody wants to know right now. What's the trade front for the Kings? What's going on with that? Are there guys that they're looking at? And there's one guy in particular that I don't think they're looking at, but I think they should. And I want to know if you feel the same way. We'll talk about that. Plus, we got Jake Gaten pulling up on us at 1:30. We'll talk a little bit more about football, about the Niners, and we can talk basketball with Jake as well. We're chasing down our guy, Butcher Boy. We'll see what's going on. He's a busy man, so we're going to try and chase him down for 1 o'clock. We'll see what happens there. But either way, you got KC and Hamwich right here on ESPN 1320.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron.
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Yes, sir. KC and Ham here. We're up with you until 2 p.m. on this Monday afternoon, Sacramento, California. There is still just fog all over the area. It's crazy. It's not even cloudy. Like, remember how, like, last week it was cloudy? Not even cloudy. It's just a sheet of fog.
I could see it as I was driving down the hill. There was, like, a wall of it way off in the distance. I'm like, oh, I'm glad that's not.
Rain is supposed to be on the forecast. And see, when you talk about the 49ers game on Saturday, it's going to rain on Saturday for sure. But I think the iPhone weather app says it should stop raining. It won't clear up, but it'll stop raining around 5 o'clock. So maybe the game won't be played in rain. That'll be a good thing. Wet turf, but not rain, which is one of Brock's kryptonites to a lot of people, is like the elements. Like, he doesn't play good in rain.
Yeah.
So I'll have to deal with that, hopefully. We were talking Sacramento Kings. We were talking about kind of where they are this season, where they're at, and a lot of people are looking for trades, and a lot of people are looking for them to make some moves. And there's a guy that's potentially on the trading block. More rumors continue to circulate today and in the last couple of days. I don't think he has any shot of coming to the Kings, but I disagree with Scott Perry. I disagree with my man Scott Perry, another great Monday motivator. But I disagree with him. I think the Kings should make a move for Trae Young. I think they should go after Trae Young. It sounds like he might be available. From the things, I think maybe you heard the same things. You can elaborate on it. He was available this summer if they really wanted him, and the Kings weren't interested. I think they should be. What do you think about Trae Young and the Kings potentially pursuing Trae Young?
Yeah, I don't think they're going to. But, like, again, this offseason, everything I had heard that they had an opportunity and they said no. And the biggest issue they had is that they knew that the second that he landed in Sacramento, he wanted to void the final year of his deal for next year and get a new contract. And that contract would be based on raises off of that contract. So we're talking about the, like, the 5-year, $300 million contract. And I think that they weren't fully on board for that kind of money for a player that they don't know if he impacts winning in the way that a player that makes that much money should be. Right. And I think that, like, look, at the end of the day, you don't have anything set up at your point guard position for years. Like, Dennis Schroeder is probably better served as a backup and also has trade value. Russell Westbrook keeps putting up numbers, but he's 37. You need someone that you can build an identity around, which was De'Aaron Fox, right? And so I personally love Trae Young as a player. I've had, you know, I think he's a sieve on defense. Horrible defensively. He's also a very inefficient scorer, which doesn't make any sense to me because that's not who it looked like he was going to be as a player. It looked like he'd be a high volume scorer, but it wouldn't be so inefficient, like less than 40% a couple of years in his career. The 3-point shooting isn't always there, but outstanding passer. And like, if I could make a move right now for one thing that the Kings need outside of like length and athleticism, we talk about all the time, I can't stand watching bad basketball. I want to see a player that moves the ball, that can average 11 assists a game. You know, like Trae Young brings a lot to the table, and I am so over just like you're trying to develop young players. You don't develop young players by just putting them on the court and have them go stand in the corner. They have to actually be part of the game plan. And some nights they're part of the game plan and the team actually looks fun and has a good time and they have a shot to win games. But then there are these other games like yesterday where it's like, what are you doing here? Like, what exactly is the game plan coming into here? Because whatever it was, you're not playing to the game plan. You're not playing to any strengths at all. And you're just getting clubbed. And so for me, would I take a chance on Trae? I probably would. Because, I mean, again, it's going to be the same basic contract as like a Zach LaVine. Mm-hmm. And we're hearing, you know, again, that Atlanta is very interested in Anthony Davis and would like to make a move for Anthony Davis, but Dallas has really no interest in Trae Young. Mm-hmm. And so how do you make that move without including Trae Young? And there's talk that, you know, they may be willing to move off a Risache. And they might have Porzingis, who, you know, may or not be able to play. He's in the same boat as Anthony Davis as far as games played. And so maybe you can cobble together a trade. I think there could be a 3-team trade that would make sense between the three of them, where somebody gets a young player and a Zach LaVine, and the Kings get a Trae Young, and Atlanta gets Anthony Davis. I just don't know that they're actually going to push the button. And, you know, again, Scott Perry's clearly looking for a point guard. We've heard the rumors about, you know, LaMelo Ball in the past, about potentially John Morant. And who's the other one for Cleveland?
Oh, Darius Garland.
Darius Garland. That you know, would the Kings be interested? The Kings are going to be interested in everybody because they're not good enough. And they're trying to move off of these contracts. And none of these contracts outside of Keegan Murray's extension and the three young guys that they have on the roster right now, everybody else is somebody else's, you know, sign or trade that you're dealing with. And so for me, I see Scott Perry willing to flush most of this roster in order to try something new and have it be his team and not someone else's. And again, you can list all of the attributes that Trae Young has. The problem is they don't fit into the attributes that Scott Perry's looking for. You know, we always hear the defensive-minded, gritty, physical, like all that stuff. That's not who Trae Young is. He's a very good player, but he's not that. So I like him more than some of the other point guards. I think he's a better player than some of the other point guards that they're kicking the tires on or hope that become available. But at the same time, like, I would at least try something in that situation and see if you could, you know, bring him into the fold and have it work out. I just don't know that it will.
Yeah, I agree with the principles that Scott Perry comes to the table with for building this roster and what he wants to see. I just don't think it's realistic that you're going to get 12 guys like that. Like, you can, in reality, not all 12 guys on the roster or 15 guys are going to have the grit, the determination. Like, there are going to be some guys that have more talent that you might sacrifice one or two of your principals because they're unbelievably talented. That's when you put the other 11 guys around him so that his shortcomings don't stick out like a sore thumb or don't hurt you. And I think with a guy like Trae Young, that's something that you can do. I agree. Like, just not a good defender, not an engaged defender a lot of times. But if you put another three or four guys in the lineup around him, like, to a certain degree, you can hide him. That's what all these teams be doing. That's what they do with Ja. That's what they do with Trae when he's in Atlanta and they were winning games. That's what they did with Dame Lillard a lot of the times. They just hide him, put him on a guy that's in the corner, and let him float around and do what he does on the offensive end. And if you put the right pieces around a guy like Trae Young, I think you can survive his shortcomings while benefiting from his positives. But like you said, I don't feel like Scott Perry thinks this is the time to take that type of risk with that type of player.
Yeah, and I'd add this too. I think there's some, you're right there. The problem is that the Kings are a team filled with star-level players that have that, but. That's the problem. They have too many of the guys that you have to hide their deficiencies that are your star-level players. So if you start having a group that has a Trae Young, and you're in the same boat as when you have Zach LaVine, because you can't hide all the things that Zach doesn't do. And the Domantas Sabonis situation, like, hey, I will sit here and tell you a million times over that I think Domantas is one of the top 25 players in the league, and he's the best rebounder in the league, and that he plays, like, through pain and everything else, like, this season notwithstanding, he's missed a bunch of games. But
we'll talk about that a little while. I think that happened when we were away. Like, yeah, he'll be gone for another month.
Like, oh, okay. Well, that's weird because he still hasn't had surgery. And that's just a strange, I don't know what's happening. And to me, I think we're in a season where it doesn't really matter what's happening. That's where we're at. But I would say the problem that, you know, we were getting ready for Saturday's game, and I had a conversation with someone, I'm not going to name names, but I had a conversation with somebody who was like, hey, your guy Keon Ellis is finally getting to start tonight. And it's like, okay. And it's like, oh, you know, like, oh, he's so overblown by the fan base and, you know, everyone loves him. Like, he's perfectly fine NBA player, but at the same time, like, really, what are we fighting over here? And I'm like, well, my problem isn't that Keon Ellis is good or bad. It's that players like Keon Ellis have to have good players around them to do exactly what you're saying, to draw the attention, to, like, Keon Ellis, there should be a moment where Keon Ellis can have games like he had 5 of 10 from 3. He's an incredible shooter. He has proven that throughout his career. He's a top 15, 20 shooter in the league. Like, look at his career stats. He's like a career 43% three-point shooter. But when your star players aren't doing what they're supposed to do to create the vortex of, you know, dragging everyone to the middle of the key so you have wide-open shooters everywhere, when they don't have that capability and they're not playing up to their potential, it makes guys like Keon, guys like Neat Clifford, guys like Keegan Murray look even worse, because, like, they're just being guarded straight up, or they're getting switched onto with the best defender on the team. Like, there are things that happen when your best players aren't playing well enough that cause your role players to look even more like role players. And that's one of the biggest problems the Kings have. And it's, again, why one night they have 32 assists, another night they have 18, 19. It's like there's not a consistency with the star-level players to make the role players fit into what you're trying to accomplish. And it's really difficult. It's why guys like Precious Achiuwa and Dylan Cardwell, they just stand out so much. Every minute they're on the court, they're playing so much harder and so much more physical than everybody else. And you're like, why isn't everybody doing what they're doing? And it's like, well, because that's, you're right. That's not how an NBA team is built. There are a bunch of players who don't do the physical stuff. I remember Jamal Crawford signed with Portland Trailblazers and said in the press conference, you know, I think it was Nate McMillan said, oh, yeah, I'll even get him to play defense up here. And Jamal's like, yeah, bro, I don't do that. Yeah, that ain't me. That's not who you just signed. Yeah. That ain't me. And it's understood that certain players have certain roles. Malik Monk is to bring energy, to bring fire, to fly all over the court, to make mistakes. For every Malik Monk, you need two guys who don't make mistakes, who don't fly all over the court, and who play defense. Mm. And that's just the way you have to design your team. And the Kings, like, just the mix of players, but it's also the types of players and who's playing well and who's not. It's not conducive to winning basketball at all right now. And
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100 plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
That's tough.
And I'll also, you know, I'll throw the cape on for a guy like DeMar DeRozan, too. You know, DeMar DeRozan, 36 years old, like, he's not supposed to be. I wouldn't have DeMar DeRozan on my team thinking, yeah, we need you to fly around and be this super leader. Like, no, you're like the super OG. Get you the ball. You got, at this point in your career, you got one job, and that's to be this offensive guy. You're not a defensive guy. You're not this hustle guy. This isn't Toronto DeMar DeRozan where you can go flying around and doing a bunch of things. Mm-hmm. You got a more of a floor-based game offensively and defensively now. And to have him as like, no, it's your best player, like he should be leading things, maybe I'm stalling him out and giving him a pass, but that's not a DeMar DeRozan problem. That's a you problem. Why are you putting him in that situation at 36 years old? Like, that's not what he should be doing right now. He should literally be, hey, just shoot, just do what you do, OG. But the roster was, but like, I look at Zach LaVine more of that type of player. Like, he's 29, 30. Like, yeah, be the leader. Be a guy that, you know, lifts everybody around you and moves the ball and doing all that. You're in the prime of your athletic career right now. Like, mm-hmm. Yes, do that. And he's incapable of it. I don't look at DeMar DeRozan like, yeah, you're not doing what you're supposed to do. You're about to retire. What do you mean you're not supposed to do what you're supposed to do?
Well, I think there are certain games where, it all works and DeMar, like, is either on fire and you just keep feeding him, or the game the other night where he had 9 assists, right? Where you're like, all right, that's what, at this stage, like, he should be trying to help the younger players develop like everybody else is. But then you get to games like yesterday where it just felt so forced from him and Russ. And I know, you know, again, DeMar's playing in his hometown. Russ is playing in his hometown. Russ played for that team. And, like, I there was some disrespect there, mm-hmm. like the way that things went. And so I get this like want to go out and beat those guys. I really enjoyed watching Dennis Schroeder just chirp at Luka Doncic the whole game.
Said he was going to beat his ass.
I loved it. I absolutely loved the whole thing. And, you know, like keeping someone in check is fine, but keeping someone in check while playing a team style of basketball where you have some potential to succeed, like the only way to succeed is not for DeMar DeRozan to take 20 shots and score 30 points, because if that's like the pathway, you're going to lose the game, because those 20 shots, when you're only getting up 70 or 80 and you're not getting enough of everyone else contributing, isn't good for what's happening. And it's, for me, if he's getting the ball with 8 seconds left on the shot clock and making his move and getting either the foul or the jumper to fall or the foul and the jumper to fall, that's fine. But there are way too many times, man, where I'm watching, you know, these guys get the ball and it's him and Russ, and there's 18, 19 seconds on the shot clock and you know the ball's not moving again. And it just feels like there are certain games where that just, like, all the passing goes out the window and it just becomes ISO ball, ISO ball, ISO ball. And I get it. That's who those guys are as players. But there's also a way to play ISO ball within the flow of a game. And when the game stops playing and it's just ISO ball, it's just not fun to watch. And it's, there's no way to compete, because while you're playing ISO ball, the other team is typically hitting seven 3-point shots more than you are. And you can't make up for those 21 points that you're losing right there. And you're not going to get the foul calls that the Lakers get, which is just a joke. I mean, they're like plus 450 over the last 5 years over their opponent in free throw attempts. And you're just like shaking your head. I mean, watching Luka cry every single time and then get a foul on Max Reyno on a barely a touch. Yeah, even that, like,
that was ridiculous.
And they called, that wasn't even, the ball went out of bounds, so they called it a vicinity foul or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, oh my gosh, it's tough to watch.
I said it last week or a couple weeks ago. Adam Silver worried about what the post game show talking about. He didn't worry about officiating. Officiating is terrible. It's awful. Like, do a better job. And not only is it like bad, but the fact that they allow these superstars to bully them or trick them into calls.
Dictate the game. Dictate the game. Dictate the game.
Go ahead and say the full word next time, pal.
Dictate the game.
Whoa. James Ham getting loose on D'Lo and KC.
No, the officials, they do. They allow the players to dictate the play of the game.
Yeah.
And it's like, hey, man, that's not the way that this game should be officiated. I'll tell you, Saturday game, Tony Brothers calls some crazy stuff, right? Like, just straight up, he does. Like, all the time, you're sitting there like, I can't believe that you just called that. And it's almost like players will yell at him, and then he'll start calling fouls. I've never seen a game that was, like, over that quickly. Like, the third quarter took like 12 minutes. It was like there were no foul calls. It's like, bro, nobody wants to watch this game.
Yeah. Do you, that reminds me, too, we were talking about like Trae Young. We started this talking about the trade aspect of it. Are you hearing anything going to happen? I usually, you get December 15th and people are like, all right, people are available, but they're not really in a rush to do anything. I kind of feel like, to a certain degree, the NBA treats, I know they're playing games and things like that. They're working, but they kind of treat it like the rest of society. It's like, nothing's really going to happen between Christmas and New Year's. We'll get back after it, really, as far as like trade conversations and deals happening after the New Year's, just like the rest of society. But do you think everybody's like really anxious for trades to happen with these guys here in Sacramento? Mm-hmm. Do you see anything coming up with the trade deadline a little bit more than a month away?
Well, I think first and foremost, we just had the G League showcase, mm-hmm. right? And that is where a lot of conversations start. They start at the showcase. There are a bunch of general managers, but also number two, number threes, assistant GMs, guys like BJ Armstrong are there, right? And that's where conversations start to brew with groups. So I think that you have, you know, again, it happens a lot in summer league. It happens at like the winter meetings and stuff like that. In baseball, you see all the time. That's where everything starts to like go crazy. But with the NBA, it quietly happens at the G League showcase where like trades start to warm up. Now, as of right now, you know, there's more reporting that Malik Monk is available. Like we've known that forever. Mm-hmm. There's going to be a ton of reporting on whether it's Domas or whether it's Zach LaVine or whether it's DeMar. Like every player that the Kings have, there's going to be a ton of conversations around the Kings because they want to be in those conversations. They want to roll this roster, but you're still caught in this moment where I think everyone in the league sees that there's one super team and then the team that's right behind that super team and is turning it on is the Spurs. And then the Rockets are right there as well.
Those about the NBA Cup champions.
Okay.
Who beat the Spurs.
Yeah.
Who won on Christmas Day.
Mm-hmm.
Knicks can win a championship this year.
No, I think so too. But see, these other teams are packed with young players. Mm-hmm. OKC, Houston, San Antonio. They're not looking to go trade their young players to go get somebody else unless it's like a Giannis deal. And I don't even think most of those teams are looking at that. Then you have this other group of teams like what you just mentioned. The Knicks could use some depth for sure. And there are other teams that are sort of in the same boat. The Lakers. The Lakers could use a ton of depth. Like what they have right now, like, yeah, it's not pretty. But those teams are the ones who are going to start swinging to get back into this conversation. The rest of the league, there's not a lot of those teams that are looking to add a bunch of talent right now because they think that they can go be a player in this thing. Most of the Western Conference teams, they know the score. They know what they're up against. And they don't think that trading for Malik Monk or Zach LaVine is going to put them over the hump. Right. So you've got to find the right partner for a trade in this situation. And I don't know that there's a ton of them out there. Again, can Malik Monk get traded? Yeah. If he gets traded for Kyle Kuzma, are Kings fans going to be pissed? Yes. But at the same time, you have to understand that Kyle Kuzma's got 1 year left on his deal after this year at $20 million or $19 million, whatever it is. And Malik has another year after that at 20. And so you're trying to speed up the process of your rebuild here. And that's why the Kings would make a move like that. Will it feel good? No. Will it impact winning? Absolutely not. It will not push you into like a different category of team. But what it could do is give you a starting power forward and allow Keegan to play the three full time and just give you a player archetype. And then either this summer or midway through next season, you'd have a $20 million expiring contract that you can trade.
Yeah, I'm starting to get this sense, Sam, that the Kings aren't going to do much this.
They're going to try, but whether they can or not.
They're definitely working the phones and stuff like that. I think they're doing everything. But I'm not expecting much of anything to happen. If it might be one move that's like a, you know, I'm off the top of my head, DeMar DeRozan to Cleveland for a random bench guy. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think it's going to be a Jonathan Kuminga, a Trae Young, you know, some young guy coming in here and you can kind of speed up the process or change your fortunes, or he could be one of your future. I don't think that's going to happen with this particular trade deadline with the Kings.
Yeah, it might not. I mean, you're really hoping that something, you know, sort of breaks loose with maybe the Bucks. The Bucks are a team that they're desperate to find someone to put alongside Giannis to try to make the team better and try to keep him around. But still, like getting Zach LaVine, you have to give up so much to get there. Yeah. And, you know, it's not just Kyle Kuzma at that point. It's Kyle Kuzma and another $20 million player in order to get to the dollar amount to match Zach's salary. And that's not simple at all. And so I don't know how the Kings, unless you start finding three team deals and, you know, you get roped into something much bigger, or if a couple of teams that think that they're on the cusp, especially Eastern Conference teams, look at Dennis Schroeder and say, hey, yeah, we'll take the next year of Dennis Schroeder and the $4 million buyout on the final year. We'll go ahead and go after that. But, you know, the Kings are in asset collection mode. I would not be surprised to see a guy like Keon Ellis traded. Mm. And that trade in itself can just be for picks.
Yeah.
Like, he's a league minimum contract, so he can be accepted onto any roster in the league and without any problems, and you don't even have to give up a player in that deal.
Yeah. If you are riding around listening or watching on YouTube or Twitch or Twitter or anything like that, and you feel like TC and you are way more interested and excited as a 49ers fan and a Kings fan in watching the Kings instead of the 49ers, I want to hear from you. Hit us up on the Elk Grove Kid Talk Line, 916-909-1320, and tell us why you are way more engaged in what the Kings do than the 49ers right now. Because that's really what happened. TC called in and said, oh, man, I'm way more excited to watch the Kings than I am the 49ers. And he's a fan of both. It's crazy.
That's wild.
So hit us up on the Elk Grove Kid Talk Line, or just in general. We're talking Kings. We're still talking 49ers after what we talked about, what we saw last night on Sunday Night Football, maybe the game of the year with the Niners and the Bears. We got Jay Gaten. He's going to pull up on us at about 1:30. Phone lines are open, man. We want to hear from you. We're here for another hour. It's KC and Ham on ESPN 1320.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.